Bernie Smith from Precious Life joining us now. Bernie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Stephen.
So obviously emotions running high this morning. I guess, Bernie, and look, I know this is loaded because you could also bring someone else in equally who did not have an abortion, Bernie, and is thankful that they did not. But when Sarah Ewart walked in here, and she is someone who has lived the experience of having to decide whether to have an abortion or not, and having to go to England, Bernie, I think even you would agree that that's very powerful human testimony when you get a woman saying, why can't I decide for myself in Northern Ireland?
Well, in reality, Stephen, the travelling to another jurisdiction isn't the issue here. The issue is receiving that devastating news that many women receive throughout Northern Ireland, throughout the world, on a daily basis. And yes, we don't walk in their shoes, but what we want to do as a caring and compassionate society is we want to walk alongside of those women. We want to help them through those difficult situations. And we don't believe abortion helps women through that grief. There's no shortcut through grief, whether the woman makes that decision to go to England or have that abortion, or whether she has it naturally. The process is the same. But when a woman is given perinatal and hospice care, and I have been instrumental myself in organising that for many women here in Northern Ireland, I have seen the results. When those women give birth, and sometimes the baby could be stillborn, sometimes the baby survives for minutes, for hours or weeks even. One particular little baby that I was involved in her case lived for 33 days. That gave the parents that opportunity to bond with that child. And many of those women say that the baby in the womb was alive and kicking. And while that baby is alive and kicking, it's very wrong to end the life of that child.
Yeah, there's someone here, Peter Lyons, who has emailed me to a point similar to what Bernie's making this morning. She says, Stephen, I went through having a baby diagnosed with similar abnormalities. I went through a very difficult birth, but had the privilege of knowing my little son for 5 days until he peacefully passed away.
Absolutely, Stephen. I was with somebody a few days ago whose baby is now about a month old, and the diagnosis was that it was a life-limiting condition, that it wasn't going to survive. They didn't think to birth, let alone beyond birth, and the advice was to get an abortion, and they chose not to do that. They expected. We prayed with the mum just before she went to hospital, the granny, as it would have been, she went to hospital, not expecting that child to come home. And a month later, at a school sports day, we were able to see that little baby in a pram. And so these are hard cases. Lord Denning, one of the most senior judges in the UK, a number of years ago, said that very famous phrase that hard cases make bad law. And so we absolutely need to listen to the stories. They are important. We can have stories on both sides, if you like, as you've already highlighted, Stephen. But then we have to decide, what do we do about the law in this situation? And if there are two lives at stake, and lots of people think there are two lives at stake, then we have to look for a way in which abortion is, when it's necessary, free, safe, legal and rare is what many people on the pro-choice side say they want to see. And that is actually what we have in Northern Ireland. So it is free, it is safe when it's carried out, it is legal in limited circumstances, I absolutely agree with that. And in those very limited circumstances, that's what makes it rare. And so we actually have that in Northern Ireland.
Well, let Emma Campbell come into the conversation from Alliance for Choice.
Hi.
Emma?
Hiya.
How would you respond to what you've just heard?
I think that it's amazing that they're able to do that work with those women and the families that they've worked with. And Alliance for Choice absolutely support the expansion of perinatal care and an improvement to our maternal health services. But that's just one of the options that those families should be offered. And the families that decide on a different path are then forced to travel over to England and to arrange the transportation of their fetal remains, or they're not able to take the baby home for a proper burial because the remains are in England. And we just,
well, this will change with reform in the south now, won't it?
We're not really sure. Firstly, because the law in the south that's proposed at the minute is on any grounds up to 12 weeks, and then it's quite strict proposition for after 12 weeks. So we're not really sure how that's going to play out yet. Also, there's a 72-hour cooling-off period suggested in the south, which means people will have to travel down twice. So it just really depends, again, on the individual circumstances of the family, whether they decide that England would be best for them or travelling to the south. But really, they shouldn't be deciding on which travel's best. They should be deciding on which hospital's best and whether they want to continue with the care team in their own country. I think that's really, really important.
Bernie?
And we have to remember as well that CEDAW said that travelling for abortion healthcare was untenable and was tantamount to state torture.
Bernie?
Well, that's actually ridiculous because when we talk about torture here, there's nothing worse to torture a little child to death in the womb. There's nothing worse than leaving a mother in a devastating state after an abortion. And when you talk about abortion being safe, abortion is not safe. And, you know, the word safe means free from danger or injury without harm. Induced abortion is not safe. It's not safe for the unborn child, and in many cases, it's detrimental for the mother. And when you talk about what has actually happened in the south of Ireland, I myself helped with the No campaign over the last month since last year, and many of my own volunteers were activated throughout the Donegal, and I'd like to give my support and congratulations to the Donegal province who actually opposed any change in the law, or actually unanimously voted for no. But this is not what we want here in Northern Ireland, and we don't want to see abortion being legalised. We have a democratic process, and we've heard from Arlene Foster, and we've even heard from Michelle O'Neill today saying that she doesn't want British law introduced. But Shame and Sinn Féin, when they held up a poster even before the vote was established and said the North's next, what we say, Precious House says to Michelle O'Neill, that this is not in the name of the people of Northern Ireland. And I'd like to congratulate Jim Wales and the DUP for standing up and supporting legislation that will protect Irish children here in Northern Ireland. Irish citizens here in Northern Ireland are safe because of the Democratic Union.
Okay, Damien and Derry. Hello, Damien.
How are you doing?
I need to be quick here just because we're running out of time. Go ahead, Damien.
I want to ask Bernie and Peter, if they could control the law and set the law, how far would they go? Would they make it illegal for women to travel outside Northern Ireland? And if they did, would they arrest them at the ports? Would they arrest them at the airports? What would the punishment be? Would it be jail? How long would the sentence be? How far would you go, Bernie?
Sure, I'll answer that. We want to ensure that our women are safe here. And at this moment in time, we have the threat of the online abortion providers who are providing dangerous pills to women here in Northern Ireland. We need to ensure that these people here are brought to justice.
He's asking you to answer the question.
Our women.
Can you answer the question, Bernie?
I'm answering the question, where are these women
getting
the abortion
pills? How far would you go? Would you jail them, Bernie?
Where are these women getting the abortion pills?
Would you arrest them at the airport, Bernie?
On-base illegal abortion providers. And they must be reported to the PSNI.
Bernie?
These women here are being misinformed.
Okay, hold on now. Hold on. Go on, Damien.
Please answer the question, Bernie. Would you jail them?
I would answer the question and say what I want is the best for women. The law here protects the unborn child under the 1860.
What about the ports, Bernie? Would there be patrols?
Okay, Brian and Glengormley next. Morning, Brian.
Upheld here.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hello, Stephen. I actually wanted to address more towards Mr. Wells, but he's not there.
Well, what would you like to say about Jim?
If it was possible, he equates the numbers that voted against it in the assembly. That you can't equate that with the general public feeling out there.
You can.
Let me finish, please. So what I suggest was to get permission from a Secretary of State to call a referendum in Northern Ireland purely on this issue. Get it sorted once and for all. That Republican vote that was taken in the South, I was so sickened to the heart by middle-aged and older men telling women what they can and can't do with their bodies. They're not going to be the ones that's going to come and then somebody turn around raped by a neighbour or an old uncle or whatever. And
well, why are you bringing in this? You're a man.
Okay. Brian, we got to leave it there. And Bernie and Peter and Emma, thank you very much indeed.